Hello, a very warm welcome to a special one-off podcast from Talking Talky. I'm Will Taylor, joined by Sam Drew of today, and we have a very special guest, don't we, Sam?
I'm actually a bit starstruck. It doesn't happen often, but I haven't been this starstruck, Will, since I met you.
Well, I mean, and do you know what, mate? I'm a bit disappointed that's been pipped, if I'm completely honest with you, because that should still be top of the list. No, I am absolutely thrilled and delighted to say, a man we've spoken about probably more than any other footballer or any other football club on the show since his since him arriving at Talking. We're joined on the line by the fantastic Frank. I'm going to say Newball, but we'll ask you about this in a minute, mate. But how are you? You all right?
No, I'm good, thanks. Yeah, no, listen, pleasure to be on here. Obviously, I've seen your support online on Twitter in particular. But it's quite hard to respond to everyone, if you know what I mean. I don't respond to one person and someone else feels a bit jealous. Do you know what I mean?
I would have blocked Will if I was you, Frank. I would have blocked him ages ago, just maybe reported him, but you know.
I came on a bit strong and I'll be the first to admit that, Frank, all right? But I do love you, mate. That's just how it is. I can't help that.
I appreciate it. And like I said, I thought I'd leave it until at least the end of the season before getting back to football, especially when I thought the miracle was still on, so...
Absolutely. We will. Absolutely, mate. First and foremost, I've just got to ask you, because it's been heavily debated on the pop side, both in terms of conversations and chants. Can you clarify for us right here, right now? It's the burning question on everyone's lips. How do you pronounce your surname?
No, it's Nublé.
It is Nublé. Right. I thought it was Nublé, but it's because we've had Newball, Nublé, every single variation in between. But we know it's Nublé now, so... Hopefully for next season, we'll be singing that one. But we'll talk about that a little bit later on anyway, mate. First and foremost, I think the thing that me and Sam wanted to ask the most and the biggest thing is, just could you just tell us about, I mean, obviously there was things we saw around the move and all that sort of thing with what the Oval manager said and going there. I mean, first of all, how did it all come about and how did it feel coming into Torquay when at the time you came in, it pretty much looked all over. We were dead and buried to all intents and purposes.
Yeah, so my time at Colchester was coming to an end, which I sorted out with Colchester. Then obviously, 2 months left in the season, pretty much, or 6-7 weeks left. And it was a choice either to stay home and not play football until next season and just, wait, bide my time and see what happens with certain teams going up or down and stuff like that, what you do as a free agent. But then, I got a phone call off Downsy, the assistant manager, just to say, look, would I fancy coming down? And this was actually a week before I settled my situation with Colchester. So I want to say it's about 3 games before I actually came.
Okay.
Which obviously now is frustrating because if I was there maybe 2 games before, God knows where we might have done it. So, I deliberated for about 2 weeks, if I'm being honest with you, with Torquay, with a few other teams. There was York, there was other teams, Wollstone. I'll be honest, it was about 13, 12 teams. And the main thing for me was I didn't want to go to a mid-table team. It was either going to be near the top end or a team near the bottom that, could still have a chance and a fighting chance. And hopefully I can go there and make an impact. It's what you want to do as a player. You want to go somewhere and make a difference to people that support the club. But just football in general, you want to make noise. In this game, I've been in it long enough now to understand that if I'm not happy while I'm playing football or making other people happy, then it's pretty pointless. It's not as enjoyable. Let's put it that way. It's not as enjoyable. So Torquay, obviously, it became between Torquay, Yeovil, who came in last minute, and everything the manager said is bang on. I didn't comment on it at the time. But I think people can see what's happened with the ownership that's, obviously gone under the water. A comedy act of a show over there. But again, I thought, I might have dodged the bullet and not go in there in terms of how things are run. But I think Gary Johnson, if I'll be honest, was the persuading factor. I think when you speak to him and you actually hear him on the phone and his voice and his dry sense of humour, it kind of makes you feel like, forget what is going on in the outside world. When you come in here with me and work with me, I'll give you every opportunity to go and do well. Whether we do it or don't do it, I don't think that was even in the conversations with me. I never spoke about going down, for being honest with you. When I spoke to him on the phone, it was about, okay, look, how many games we've got left? We've got about 9 games. I said, all right, if I can come and play instantly and I can showcase my worth in terms of know, the player I am, but also help the team, I'm sure that'd be a positive. So that's pretty much how it came about. There's another, I've got a player, Harry Powell, he's one of my best friends in football. He had Gary Johnson as manager before, so obviously he was ringing me up as well constantly, and Todd Lapsey as well, I played with. So it was a couple of, it needed a few phone calls of convincing for sure, mainly because of the distance as well. I've just had a baby, so.
No, I just know it's a long way. It's a long way from home for you, isn't it, in Essex, 100%.
I've got a baby, you know, two month old baby. So leaving her as well was difficult, but she knew in my heart, the minute I said to her, I'm considering Torquay, she just knew I was going to say yes. And she went, oh, if you go there and you do stay up, you know, that'll be a miracle. But I didn't really see it that way until we won one game, two games, three games. And I started to feel, you know, the support of the club and, you know, the supporters. And it reminded me very much of a team I played for before, Newport. A very like family orientated club, not the biggest in size, but well supported. And when you've got the crowd behind you, you know, we've done a lot of good things at Newport. We had brilliant cup runs. You know, we played Spurs home and away. We beat Leicester, we beat Leeds, we beat Walsall, which is all in my time in 1 year that I was there. So I knew what, you know, small community, so to speak, could do as a football club. It's just a shame it was nine games or eight starts for me, and obviously Dagenham are coming in the last 20 minutes.
And robbed of a goal as well, if I remember rightly.
Yeah. Robbed of a goal. I think there was arguments saying I was a bit offside against the Wrexham goal. Dagenham one, I was clearly on. So it's a bit frustrating, but it's give and take, isn't it? It's football.
You know, it's really interesting, Frank, the fact that you said like how much of a pull Gary Johnson is, which I've been a long-term backer of Gary Johnson. I think it's really reassuring to hear that players still want to come to the club because he's the manager. So that's... You know, it's good to know that, because one of the things was always, you know, he could always get young players playing, you know, turn young players' careers around. But the fact that he's still appealing to, you know, you've played under some great managers in your time. Yeah. And the fact that someone like Gary Johnson at Torquay, towards the bottom of the National League at the time, is still appealing, I think that's fantastic to hear.
No, it is, yeah. And I think if you get to know me or you've known me, don't really lie. There's no lie need to be told. Like Gary is a top man. He's very genuine. It's very hard to find that in managers in general, especially in today's game. Everyone knows that there's, you know, to keep your job a long time, you're gonna probably have to lie a bit and, you know, play the game and stuff like that. Whereas with Gary, there's no in between. You get what you get. If he's not happy, you see it and you feel it. If he's happy, he's probably the best manager to play for. So I know I get the frustration with, you know, supporters maybe thinking he's maybe not the right man for the club considering how the season went. And that's understandable. It's a results-based business. But in general, he is a good manager for any National League side, South, North or National League. He can get any club he wants, I reckon. And if he's given a good budget somewhere, you know, I think he will flourish. So hopefully, you know, he'll be there next year and the team can flourish.
Well, I mean, yeah, it certainly looks like he'll be there next year. And I think that, like Sam says, that's been a hot topic of conversation. But I mean, it doesn't get more real than that, hearing it for someone who's played under him. You know what I mean? It's all about us sitting here as fans and having the opinions. Like you said, it is a results-based business. But I think at the end of the day, seeing it, you know, hearing it from, like you said, a player who's played under a breadth of amazing managers, and to say that about him is, it gives us a lot of encouragement for next season and all that sort of stuff. And I understand a lot's already gone on in terms of people he's trying to keep on and all that sort of thing as well. I did just want to touch on, obviously I know you said relegation was never mentioned with Gary or when you were sort of coming down and all that sort of thing. But when you got there, the mood in the camp, obviously I think it was off the back of two or three games we'd lost in the last minute, which couple of them maybe we deserved to lose. A couple of them we were absolutely, or how we didn't win them or at least get a point, I don't know, which obviously could have made all that difference come the season. But was it a despondent mood in camp, or was everyone still very up for it? Or was it just sort of, was it hard to, did you play a role in sort of G'ing the boys up, I guess?
I feel like I could write a book of the 6 weeks I was there for. It was that like dramatic in terms of week to week. When I first arrived, so I was speaking to Tom Lapsley quite a lot on the phone before coming. He was like, look, if you come here, you can definitely help us stay up. Just your presence alone will encourage and give everyone 5% to do better. Mm. Obviously, it's always nice to hear that from a fellow colleague, but at the same time, I'm like, I just wanted to go there and just see the talent myself and then go, okay, I know if we can do it or not. You know, everyone can have their own judgment. It's me, myself, I can have a judgment. I could be totally wrong. But my assessment from the first day was a group that was despondent, but at the same time, just needed a result to go their way or someone to just give them a bit of encouragement to say, no, you are a good player. This is what I need from you. So obviously for me, it's quite easy. I couldn't care less who's training or, you know, who's with me on the first day. I've had so many first days at football clubs. It's ridiculous. So, you know, for me, I'm like, I'll come in like a new school kid in a classroom as if I'm wearing the best trainers, you know, my parents have bought or I've got the best jacket on, even though that's not my persona. It's just to show you that, look, I'm ready to go. You know, if you want to come and join me, let's do it together. So I got straight into ASOS straight away. So look, I think we've got a chance here. There's a lot of experienced boys. You boys have done well in your careers. You know, what do you think? Obviously, he told me a few things that he thought could have been done better during the year. But I think you wanted just to make sure there was a core of a team for this last run-in, which we did have, obviously, a goalkeeper, fine goalkeeper in Mark. You know, centre-halves that are hopefully doing well when I arrive. Nico Lawrence, you know, great young talent. With obviously Moxie and Sean, that we actually fell into that shape after the first game I came. After Dagenham, we changed to that shape of formation. Mm. And then obviously you've got a goal scorer in Jarvis up front. And obviously the midfield with Kevin Dawson, who was an excellent signing. But I played against Dawes so many years, so I knew what... Do you know what I mean? I felt confident with some of the boys that were in there.
Yeah.
So I wasn't afraid to go in there. But I'll be honest with you, it's more the players responding to me more than me responding to them. I get quite a lot of them coming to me saying, oh, we can do this. Like, I'm thinking, you're fucking too right, we can do this. Sorry, can I swear on it?
Yeah, don't worry about it, mate. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Oh. it was more a case of, I think, sometimes your presence can help other people feel like they can do what they can do. And I think that's one quality that I'm quite lucky to have. So I think that worked straight away. After the Dagenham game, we played well as well. We lost the game. But I thought in large spells in that game, we done well. Obviously, my goal was disallowed and then they scored last minute. But that last minute thing you mentioned, I didn't realise how many goals we conceded last minute before I
arrived. It was three or four games on the trot. It was the exact same thing had happened. Yeah.
The boys kept on telling me, like during the run, where we're winning games and every other team are picking up a draw or win, or Gates that are playing like Real Madrid. the boys will say to me, if we just got that win, you know, the 3 games ago or whatever, I'm sitting there thinking, because I've not experienced that, I can't share that same feeling.
Yeah.
So I'll just shut it down straight away and go, it's fine, we'll just have to beat Burnham Wood next week, or Scunthorpe are struggling. Scunthorpe tried to sign me as well, told them no, so I'm happy we went down there and relegated them. Do you know what I mean? So stuff like that was a small motivation for ourselves that other people don't know. Do you know what I mean? So... same with Eastley. I spoke to Eastley manager. He was umming and ahhing about the situation. So I thought, all right, that's another team we need to go beat. So I was gearing up Jarve to do his magic, and he scored 2 goals that game. But no one would know that little side story. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
No, well, I mean, so, I think the big thing is as well that that's the one thing that we kept mentioning, because obviously we signed a guy from Sutton earlier in the season, Tope Fadahunzi, he was good. But I think the big thing that I think obviously endeared you to so many at Torquay, and this is something that Sam brought up quite regularly, is actually it's quite easy to look at Aaron Jarvis and think, you need a little man to run off him. He'll win the flick on, and a little man. That's sort of the stereotypical thing a lot of people think. But I think actually it was actually someone else to, you were sort of taking it in turns occupying defenders a little bit, if you know what I mean. So because you dragged, the first goal that springs to my mind is the first one at Maidenhead. Where you're sort of just stood near the edge of the 18-yard box, you've got 2 men on you, and then Jarvis is able to leap up and nod one home. Do you know what I mean? And was that a partnership that you enjoyed?
Yeah, it's a partnership that I was surprised that I even formed and done well. I'll be honest with you as well, before coming here, I didn't check the team properly in terms of names or who had done well or whatever. I just trusted in Laps and trusted in Downsy and Gary. So obviously I saw that Jarvis have scored, I don't know, 15 or 16 goals by then already. But it's only until you meet someone that you realise, you know, what their talents may be and what type of personality they are. I've played with many attacking players. Some I've done well with and never spoke a word. But where's this kid? We spoke a lot from the get-go. There was no shyness or nothing like that. I even felt like he was a bit thinking, I might want to come here and score goals for myself and maybe take the limelight off him. Mm. Where I immediately said to him, look, the first game when we started together at Boreham Wood, I said, you're scoring 2 goals today. Whatever you need, just let me know. I'll give you a hand. And I think that made him feel maybe like, fucking hell, like, he wants me to do well. So that just makes him relaxed. I'm not worried about how I play. I feel like I'll affect the game. Whether I play badly or not, the defenders will have to worry about me. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm going to put myself about. Whereas maybe someone like that, who's been scoring goals, might be seen more of a flair player. So let him go and do well. But little did I know, he loved the battle. And yeah, he's a great player. Probably one of my best partnerships I've had in my career, actually. I said that to him the last 2 weeks. Wow. You're saying, as a player, pound for pound, he's pretty good at all facets in his game.
Mm.
And now it's just a case of honing down on the things he's really good at and making sure he does that consistently every week, which I think he's been doing most of the season this year anyway.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's ever done it in his career beforehand. So now that, you know, he's got a bit of confidence and he can be seen as a goal scorer, hopefully he can, you know, do that again with Torquay this season and, you know, wherever else in the future.
Yeah, well, I mean, it makes you realise a little bit about, you mentioned Scunthorpe earlier, just how bad things must have been there. Because I remember when we signed him in the summer before. Do you remember, Sam? There were how many tweets were just saying, God, he's terrible, he's this, he's that. But you've got to think it's so dependent on how the team's built, I guess, isn't it?
That's it, yeah. Because a lot of people kind of got that perception of, oh, we've signed someone who hasn't scored any goals. We think, actually, Scunthorpe, with all due respect, had a terrible year in League Two last year. You know, a lot of the time, if you've had a bad year, your number nine striker is probably not going to be the player who's going to get the best of service. And, you know, with all due respect, for the early part of the season, he wasn't getting an awful lot of service at Torquay, but there was still a player in there. And I think you coming in just brought that final little bit of best out of him. Yeah. And I think really it's such a shame that we've gone down, because it. Really, I think the two of you are probably one of the best partnerships. I mean, I've been going to Torquay for about 20 odd years now, and I think it's certainly one of the better partnerships I've seen. And for it to click so quickly, like, it's not like you've had a pre-season together. It was phenomenal, to be fair.
You know, it's really enjoyable, mate. Honestly, seamless. Like, yeah, I share the frustration with you. I know if we had a year together, you know, he'd get 30 goals. I might get 15, 20, but I know what I've brought to the team will help us with winning. And then he can score even more goals, you know, if we play together. So no, I love playing with him. It's a shame, like I said before, that it was a short stint. But again, we never know what will happen in the future. And yeah, Scunthorpe, I played against him at Scunthorpe against Colchester, and he done well, but he was in a bad team. So, you know, sometimes things can look different when you actually meet and have the player in your hands, and you can understand where that player's gone wrong and done well. So, no, great player.
I think one of the things as well is big testament to you that, despite the fact, obviously, in the run-in, you got a fair few goals for us, but it was Jarvis who was scoring a lot of them and all that sort of thing. But I think it says a lot about just how much the club and the fans, very much myself and Sam included, of course, endeared ourselves to you, because we could see that that's not the sole focus. Although it sounds bizarre for a striker, that wasn't the sole focus around the game. Do you know what I mean? It was the endearing factor, I think, for a lot of Torquay. I mean, all any football fan wants is to see someone come and try, essentially. I mean, that's all anyone wants. But it was something we spoke about regularly on the show in the last few weeks, where we sort of just, it was a case of, it was never about the goals that you were going to come in and score, even though you know that chip against Maidenhead, by the way, I've got to mention that was incredible. But
what a finish,
the best part, you won me a bit of money that day as well, I've got to be honest. I did. But I mean, I think that was one of the things. I'm not sure what your thoughts are, Sam, but that made it so endearing is that it wasn't. I think there would have been a little bit of. It would have been a little bit standoffish if you'd sort of come in and been like, I'm going to be the man, I'm going to score the goals, it's going to be the Frank Nublé show. Do you know what I mean? But that was never the impression we got, Sam, was it?
No, I always, from the minute you came in, you got the impression that you wanted the team to do well before anything else. And I think when you come in on late in the season on a short-term deal, to show that kind of mentality and attitude where you go, look, let's just get, we're all in this together. And I think that's probably why the fans warmed to you so quickly. It was just like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I remember being sat, I've recently moved jobs, and it was like one of my last couple of days of my last job. And I was just trying to like burn the time. So when I got the notification on my phone that we'd signed you, I was like, bloody hell, that is fantastic.
We were all like, whoa. Because normally, and it's no disrespect to any players we've signed, because they've been brilliant, but normally it's a bit like, right, Wikipedia then, you know, we'll see who he's about. everyone knew. And it's something we want to touch on, actually, because obviously we cover all of the sort of South Devon sports scene on our show and all that sort of stuff. You obviously spent a fairly long time at Argyle as well. And I mean, that was one of the things. We have a fairly good relationship with Argyle fans. We're not, they don't consider us their rivals.
Yeah, I didn't know what the relationship was. So yeah. A few tweets out, I weren't sure. I was thinking, all right, is there rivalry? I know Exeter are.
Yeah, they hate it. We're like the annoying little brother. So it's them two at each other's throats. And we're like,
they dislike us when we play them.
Yeah, yeah.
We're all right.
Exactly. It's Exeter that we really dislike, which I know Exeter fans will forgive me for saying. But obviously, just touching on your time there, you spent quite a while there. That was another set of fans you really seemed to endear yourself to as well.
Yeah, it was frustrating that I left there as well, really, because it was a COVID year. I just left Colchester. Colchester weren't in a position to offer me a new deal, financial-wise. They let go of four of us. We lost in the player semi-finals to Exeter, actually, funny enough, and they got battered in the final. Happy, I was happy. Mopley played that game as well, actually, for Exeter.
He got sent off, didn't he? Was that the one he got sent off in after about?
Nah, that was the final against.
Oh, that was the final. Yeah, that was the final. Yeah, sorry, that's that
one. He played in the semis. They beat us 3-2 overall. But anyway, then I went to Plymouth and yeah, loved it there. Ryan Lowe was the manager. Shuri was the assistant. Obviously, now he's manager. And the area itself, misses and the kids loved it. So I knew going back towards Devon, I knew the surrounding area. I'd understand it and I would understand the people, which is important. Because when you play for a team, you know, obviously we're the lucky ones. We get to play football and, you know, we get support from people like yourselves. And all you would hope is for people to try their hardest. Whereas for me, I know I'm going to give that. So I'm expecting people to be happy with, you know, some of the performances that we're given. So when that works hand in hand, when you've got a player and a supporter that's, you know, pushing for the same thing, it's quite easy. So I don't see any support or positive support as, I'm thinking I'm the man. I'm thinking, no, I'm thinking we've got something special together here. It means we can win games. It means I'll get an extra 10 supporters in the ground to make that extra noise. And as you saw in the games, when the crowd is with us, we're a tough team to beat. Especially that current last 9-game spell of teams we had. Bar the Chesterfield game where we had a very off day and they were on flames. Every game we were very competitive and probably should have won every game, if I'm being honest with you.
Well, I mean, you only have to look at how we played against Wrexham on the final day. I know they were already promoted, but
yeah, they wanted to beat us.
Oh, really? Was that very much the case?
Yeah. Mullins wanted to score a hat trick. Tozo wanted to try shut us out. Like, I know Tozo as well, so I knew. They came here relaxed, but also wanted to end it well and put us down with a damning defeat. So I could sense that from the minute they came into the stadium. So I was glad they played that way because they made a good game. Not that I want us to win, obviously, and win by a few goals, but I'm glad they came with a competitive team. So if we did do it, we knew we played against a strong team.
Just a couple of bits on that, actually. Did you check Gateshead score at half time at all? Was everyone aware of what was going on, or was it very much we need to do it?
No, this game in particular, we were told pretty much every 15 minutes. So whoever's closest to the manager will probably try to relay it over to us. But again, in the middle of the game, I find it quite hard to, you know, hear what the manager's saying anyway. So even if he's shouting at me some instructions, I just give it okay. And then, you know, someone else would probably remind me this is what he meant and stuff like that. But me and Dorse during the game were looking at the far side, so the side opposite the bench. Well, Dorse was like giving it, is it 2-0, 3-0, like stuff like that. So I was asking him, and then that's how we got the results. We knew that was 3-0 up Gateshead. And we're looking at each other like, how the fuck is this happening? You know, it's 3-0. Like, everything has not gone our way at all. Why are we playing Wrexham the day we need to score 4 or 5 goals? Of all the games, why have Gateshead gone on a mad run? Why are all the shots suddenly picking up points? Like, the runs that everyone has done suddenly, it's just mental. Like,
it's one of them. Any other year, we stay up, don't we? That's the thing. It was just mental.
Even like the Orchardham game, like, I know we could have won that game. We lost it in the last minute. But the results, again, still didn't go our way. I think it was a draw? I think we needed...
Yeah, it was Aldershot on York drew on the final day and they ended up just keeping the ball in the corner for the last time.
It's just so frustrating. Every week, one result didn't go our way. But again, you know, whatever happened in the beginning of the season, that's probably what put us there. All we can do now is be proud of how it ended and hopefully that momentum can carry on for next year.
No, I mean, like, go on, Sam, sorry.
I was going to say, slight subject, we've got to ask, is there a chance we'll see you again in a Torquay shirt?
Oh, yeah, there's always a chance, yeah. There's always a chance, especially how it ended with my time there. I'll be lying to say if I've said no fully. That's a lie. That's not the case. But I have told Gary, I said, I'll wait. I'll give it at least a couple of weeks just to see what's out there. I think that's mainly because of location. That's one aspect.
Yeah, the wife loves it, mate. She loves Plymouth. She'll love Torquay even more.
She does. No, she did love it. You know what it is? It's more for us where the kids are going to school now.
No, I understand. Yeah. No, I get it.
Even to move them now, it's very difficult. So we're still deciding that now. And I know a couple of them are listening through the story. So I'm going to keep
quiet. Are you still living up London way?
It's Ipswich, isn't it?
I'm based in Ipswich. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
I mean, it really doesn't. That's so frustrating because it really doesn't get much further, does it?
Geographically,
it really couldn't get much further. But I mean, obviously, I think that's one of the other frustrating things about going down. Obviously, away from going down, is I feel like it perhaps would have been a slightly more attractive proposition as well, being in the National League opposed to the National League South. Do you know what I mean? And it's a combination of things, isn't it?
Yeah, I think. Listen, if I said now, I was a couple of weeks from, you know, making a decision. If we stayed up, I might have said it would be a week. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So that's just the honest truth.
No, mate. But look, you look at it's a career thing, isn't it? And I don't think any of us are expecting you to play at that level. Do you know what I mean? Because
I prefer happiness. Sorry to cut you off there, Will.
That's fine. No.
I prefer to be happy. And Torquay brought a lot of happiness, you know, back into football, considering the year out of Colchester. You know, we had 3 managers in a year. Then, you know, I was there for 4 years, so, you know, I had a great time, but it didn't end how I wanted it to end. Mm. So this actually brought quite a lot of life back into my mindset of football. So that's very important, and people can underestimate that. So I wouldn't rule out anything, but I'd be lying to you if I said it's a no. That's not true.
As they say, it's the hope that kills you with football, isn't it? And it was the hope
it
of the
does, yeah.
Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, Frank, there's a couple of things I'm not sure. You brought the happiness back to the fans for a bit. You know, I was convinced we were relegated after that
Dagenham game,
I think. It kind of got the better of me this season. I just thought, I just can't see it happening. But then you and the team started to turn it around. And I would think of myself as one of the most optimistic fans. To get me back on side, I thought, wow, you know, even if we go down, they've given me that kind of that bit of happiness for the last few weeks.
That's what we wanted.
Well, I mean, look, you give us. We didn't think we'd have a great escape. I think we thought we'd be in a Yeovil or Scunthorpe situation where it'd be over with a few weeks. And you give us that, and it's such a long bloody break between now and the start of next season.
It
would have been even longer if we'd been relegated a few weeks before. So it was fantastic.
We were 8 points behind Yeovil when I come. It shows you, like, you know, how we did end up that the boys did give everything. And there's a good team in there. And a lot of them are kept on, you know. Acer and I think Laps is making his decision. But I spoke to him last night. I know he'll stay.
That's an exclusive.
I said to him, I don't know why you're giving it I'm thinking about it. I said, you've signed already mentally, so don't stop playing games. And he laughed. So hopefully he does sign. I know Stubbsy as well loved it as well, his time there. See, like, Stubbsy is a very, like, introverted character in terms of in a group setting. And you speak to him 1v1 and you understand that he's, you know, he's a great guy, got on really well. But he loved his time there. Mm. So for me, that's another player which I can't speak on someone else's future, but I'm pretty sure he's 90% done. Mm. So, you know, these things are attractive for players who want to sign in next year, that, you know, you've got the core of the team that ended. And obviously some younger players who maybe didn't feature as much, but, you know, could do well in the South.
All I'll say, Frank, is you'll get 55-60 next year in the National League South, no problem, mate. You really would. I say that in jest. You and Jarvis will get 100 between you, without a shadow of a doubt.
I want to share in the club. That's
what I said. You have the keys to the city, mate, if you do that. It's not a problem, yeah.
To the bar at the end. So
Frank Nublé Popular Terrace, I think we'd have to rename it if that was the case, wouldn't we? We really would. Look, I've just one final question I've got to ask you. For my own ego and nothing else, was the sort of run-in and the upturning form solely down to me telling you I loved you every week?
It was, yeah. It was up there. You're probably the top three names I saw constantly that I thought yeah. First of all, he's getting a bit annoying here because I want a reply, but I know for a fact he's going to keep messaging me until I give him a reply. So the fact that you kept supporting, and even when we lost one game and whatnot, but people like you was there for us every minute, especially when I was there. So I appreciate you very much, Will. So I think for whoever's there next year, if I'm there, whoever's there, I know people like yourself and Sam supporting the club. These people do care. We do see things. It doesn't matter for us. We go home and we look at our phones. That's what we do. Mm. That's the generation we live in now. So no, I appreciate it all.
No, well, Frank, I mean, honestly, it's been an absolute pleasure to be joined by you today. Like I said, we're both obviously have a little bit awestruck by it, if we're being completely
honest.
We've loved watching you. It's been an absolute pleasure. And look, if we get a chance, regardless, to see you at Playmore again, hopefully in a talkie shirt, you know you'll be more than welcome. So, Frank, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Will. Thank you, Sam. I appreciate it, man.